This past week, the world watched as the 12th century Notre Dame Cathedral in Paris burned. For 800 years, this beautiful Gothic building stood as the soul of Paris, inspiring countless pilgrims to this holy place. Unsure if they were worshiping the God to whom the building pointed or the human hands responsible for its creation. And despite the countless Facebook posts reflecting on when you'd been there last and how it moved you, what was most powerful in this Holy Week was how already new life was springing from the ashes. It was uncontainable. The generosity of those willing to donate to its rebuilding encouraged others. And what more so was uncontainable was not just the generosity, but how not even Google's word search aggregation was immune to this sort of excitement or interest. Because people that typed in church fire not just got Notre Dame, but the three black churches in Louisiana that were burned because of hatred. And because of that, those three black churches that might have otherwise gone forgotten saw a spike in donations to see their rebuilding too. Rising with this interest or excitement was also a needed call to consider truly what $1 billion could do. How many people would that feed or clothe or house? We're irresponsible, as some groups have said, to rebuild something that aligns itself with Christianity, let alone the Catholic Church, that struggles still with its ever uncovering of abuses at the hands of priests and its structure. All of that criticism is completely valid and necessary. And it must be said because people are paying attention. But our world is in short supply of inspiration. This immense structure and beauty of Notre Dame attracts something like 14 million people a year. And something happens in them. It's probably the same thing that happened when we were throwing confetti. A little bit of childlike wonder and surprise and shock and terror all mixed in together that we can't really explain or quantify or capture. It's the same thing that happened to me in the middle of Easter sunrise service, in the middle of verse 2 of a hymn that I was supposed to be singing and leading. I can't tell you what, but somewhere in the middle of that verse, I started listening to the bird song. I started to hear the woodpecker in the trees, watch the squirrel jump, or hear more than my own insecurities and worries. I forgot the song. I actually forgot how it went for a moment. And it was as if God said, it's okay to be quiet. It's okay to marvel at creation, to marvel at the labyrinth, to marvel at the garden or the church. It's okay to think about the faith and the trust that assembled all of this in this one place and the miracle of that, let alone the miracle of Notre Dame, let alone the miracle of us coming together as people at all and not just hiding in our own homes and keeping our own resources to ourselves. It's okay to be blown away by the miracle of creation, the miracle of new life. It's okay to be silent before that. Beauty can be enough. Art and the beauty of this world compel us. They cause something in us to stop,
to stop what we're doing, stop the regular routines of rushing here and there, and they captivate our attention. For we need creation or art. We need 800-year-old buildings or 65-year-old ones to inspire us to seek the good of this world. We need institutions to better see the moments of suffering, the places of creation that are wounded. Because I honestly believe that it's not more ugliness that'll fix it. Two negatives rarely make a positive. The risen Christ shows us exactly this. Peter, on the seashore in a PTSD-like moment, still holds the picture of Christ's crucifixion in his mind, in his heart. He still remembered the nails and the blood and the death and all of that stuff. I wonder if what weighed on him more was the moment that he saved his own skin. When the person came up to him and said, "You're with him," and he said, "No, of course not." The moment when he chose his own life over Jesus's. And yet the most powerful display, the most blessed offering that the risen Christ reveals about forgiveness and mercy is that in the scene that he confronts Peter about it, he says nothing. The risen Christ stands before Peter and allows the beauty of life, new life, to captivate him. And it allows him to restart. To restart his mind and his heart. That's what forgiveness does. It offers us a chance to start over. That's what art and beauty and creation do too. They remind us that the hamster wheel of life doesn't always need to spin. There's a joke made by a British TV show called The IT Crowd. You may not have seen it, and that's cool. But The IT Crowd worked in a computer for a large business. So they were worried about the networks and the computers, making sure everything was functioning. And every time when someone would call their office to complain that the computers are down, they would say the same words over and over and over again. "Have you turned it off and on again?" And there's no difference between a computer and us. We need that restart. Maybe not literally to stop a heart and start it again, but we need the restart of compassion and forgiveness. We need the restart given to us by beauty and art. We need magnificent cathedrals and the mess of confetti and the grace of communion to restart because we can't do it ourselves. Somewhere in the holiness of paper and bread and juice and birds and soil and sunlight, of grand columns and organs, somewhere in the midst of all of this, God says, "It's okay. It's enough to just stop. Just open your eyes. See what I see every time I look at you. See the beauty and wonder and love with which I see creation. See the possibility for new life that awaits. Every moment is an Easter moment. Thanks be to the risen Christ, for he is risen indeed. Hallelujah." For we give of ourselves.
whether it's the time and the energy of Christina working with our kids whose last Sunday it is today, and I completely forgot during announcement time when I went and talked to her especially to come in, and then and yet we thank her so much for offering the new life to our children. We give thanks for the way that Colin has shared his life and love with our choir and whose last Sunday it is today as well. We give thanks for all of you and the ways you add to the life here. Because it's not just about making sure there's less spots, fewer spots in the pews, but in the smile you offer your pewmate, in the hug extended in the hall, in the grace offered around table, in the friendship and in the love and the inspiration that our world so sorely needs. This is why we gather. Because new life is possible in the gifts that we share. And so your offerings will now be received.